Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. That day, when evening came, he, that's Jesus, said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." And then turning over to Mark chapter 14, and we'll start to read from verse 32. So Mark 14, starting at verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
Good morning. I wonder if you've ever thought, what is the purpose or the point of preaching? What is the purpose of a sermon? In fact, I'm sure you've often thought halfway through a sermon, what is the point of this sermon? And the answer, I think, is worship. The answer is worship. The job of the preacher is to present God, the Lord Jesus, so clearly that people are called to worship. And the worship doesn't stop on the Sunday. It carries on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. If we were allowed, I would love to have one or two of you up here and tell me about your Thursday, what you're going to do on Thursday, how you're going to worship God in your business, in your classroom full of third graders, in your home, in your clinic, as you're doing the accounts, as you're paying your bills. That's just an aside. Let's pray. Lord, we want to worship you, and we want to do it well, and we want to do it accurately, and not just this morning, but tomorrow morning, Thursday afternoon, Saturday evening. Lord, help us to get a glimpse of you so clearly that we are brought to the point of bowing down in worship and adoration. So open our eyes this morning that we may see wonderful things in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in the middle of a series on Mark's Gospel. We're looking at pairs of stories that help to interpret each other, help us to understand these different stories. The first week we looked at the torn heavens and the torn curtain, the torn curtain through which we have access to the presence of God, the torn heavens through which the kingdom of God breaks in. And that kingdom is bigger than anything we can possibly imagine. And this king is not an ordinary king. This king rules from a cross. And then last week, we looked at disciples who became deserters and how terribly disappointing it must have been. And yet, Jesus loves them and calls them friends. This week we're going to look at asleep in a storm, Galilee and Gethsemane. In Galilee we read the story of how Jesus was asleep in the middle of a storm. And at the end of Mark's Gospel we read how Jesus was in the middle of a storm and they slept. He was asleep during their storm, they were asleep during his storm. What can we learn from that? Last week I said that in my mind's eye it was a beautiful sunny day. Little white clouds were drifting across the sky. There were children playing in the water. There were fishermen spreading their nets. There was a group of Roman soldiers. But the day turned, and we're going to hear about a storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, and just as he was in the boat, and there were other boats with them. It must at this stage still have been a pleasant day, a cool evening by the sea. Because no one gets into a boat if they know there's going to be a tempest. A furious squall, tempest, storm came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, in the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The Greek word for a cushion is thing for the head. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're drowning?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet! Be still!" And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you have no faith still?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Well, as any traditional good sermon does, this one has 3 points, and they all begin with the same letter. The storm, the sleeper, and the saviour. Let's look at the storm. Uncontrolled raging waters are a recurrent theme in the Bible. We find them in Genesis chapter 1, where we see the Spirit of God hovering over the surface of the waters. The earth was without form, it was void, it was empty. And God speaks, and the waters are brought under control. In Genesis chapter 6 and 7, we find the account of Noah and the flood. God speaks, and the waters are brought under control. At the beginning of Exodus, we find the baby Moses in an ark in the River Nile. A couple of chapters later, we find the children of Israel going through the waters, and God speaks, and the waters are brought under control. Through the prophetic writings, God constantly calls his people back to say, "Consider the Exodus. Look what I did at the Exodus." Though you pass through the waters, they shall not overwhelm you, Isaiah 43. God speaks, and the waters are brought under control. The idea of the raging waters being a metaphor for the chaos in this world, the uncontrollable nations, the circumstances we can't bring under our control, it's throughout the Old Testament. And of course, we all know the story of Jonah and the great fish. God speaks, and the waters are brought under control. In the surrounding culture of the Old Testament, the nations had gods they worshipped. Two of them, Tiamat and Yam, were the gods of the raging waters, of the chaos, or at least underneath the waters. In the New Testament times, the Greeks worshipped Poseidon, the god of the ocean, and the Romans worshipped Neptune. So the declaration that God is brooding over the surface of the waters is a declaration of his authority over anything else that declares itself to be God. In our call to worship this morning from Psalm 29, there is a direct statement: ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings, you who think you are gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Why? Because the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. God speaks, and the waters are brought under control. Now, the idea of a storm, of course, may be a metaphor for all kinds of events in our lives that we cannot control. I wonder what storms you're going through at the moment. Some of you I know, most of you I don't. Aging parents with poor health and dementia. Rebellious teenagers. Professional uncertainty, financial insecurity, emotional confusion, insurmountable temptation, spiritual darkness, ebbing faith, poor physical health. Whatever your personal storm is, the voice of the Lord thunders over the waters. Peace! Be still. 4 years ago, I faced a storm of my own. November 2015. I was working in England as an ophthalmologist with a special interest in children's eye diseases. Doing eye surgery on a tiny baby requires a steady hand. But I was losing my coordination. I was feeling like an old man. It was not a good day when I was given the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. And 5 days later, my brother died. The waves of grief and loss and sorrow crashed in on me and threatened to sink my boat. Death is cruel. Disease stinks. And I was reading Psalm 119 at the time, and verse 68 became the defiant declaration on my lips. You, O Lord, are good. And what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Well, what about my career? No, the Lord is good, and what he does is good. What about my health? No, the Lord is good. What he does is good. What about my future? The Lord is good, and what he does is good. Prayer is good. Medication is good. Friends are good. But above all else, the Lord is good, and what he does is good. And many of you will have your own stories to tell of your own storms. Storms gone by, storms you're still enduring. Storms yet to come, but the Lord is good, and what he does is good. Now Jesus had said, let's go over the other side. He was taking them into a storm. He knew exactly what he was doing. He had a plan. He had a purpose. And he went to sleep. When Jesus stands up in the boat and commands the wind and the waves to be quiet, he's actually quoting from another psalm, Psalm 46. It's a favorite psalm. We all know it. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. We know that it's a very favorite psalm, Psalm 46. The Lord is our refuge and strength. We sing it. Luther wrote a fantastic hymn about it. But Jesus stands up in the boat and just quotes the verse from the end. Be still. And he lets them remember what follows. And know that I am God. God speaks. And the waters are brought under control. This is not some dreamy chorus. Be still and know. No, this is the Creator standing up in the boat and commanding, be still. I am in control. I will be exalted above the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God speaks, and the waters are brought under control. This is one of the clearest declarations of the divinity of the Lord Jesus. He's commanded stillness. The sails went slack. The ropes hung loose. The sea was flat. The noise went silent. The other boats made no ripples on the calm surface of the waters. And a man could hear his own breath. Be still. And know that I am God. Be still, you winds. Be still, you waves. Be still, you anxious ones. Be still, you doubters. Be still. And know that I am God, says Jesus. So much for the storm. What about the sleeper? Jesus is asleep because he is tired. He is exhausted. It's been a busy few days. He's been expending huge amounts of physical and emotional and spiritual energy. He's been pushing out the demons. He's been healing the sick. He's been touching a man with leprosy. He's been in conflict with the religious authorities. He's shown himself to be Lord over disease and death and the demonic. And now he shows himself to be in control of the physical world as well. This is not like some parent playing peekaboo with their child, pretending to be asleep. No, he's asleep. When I was a junior doctor, one of the nights that I managed to get home and read my children's stories, it was a regular occurrence. The kids would go, Mummy, Daddy's asleep on our bed again. He's resting. He's exhausted. This scene is also a deliberate reenactment of the story of Jonah. Jonah was asleep in the middle of a storm. The sailors came and woke him up. They told him to call on his God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. Jesus had been asked for a sign. By what sign? What sign can you give us to indicate your authority? Jesus said, nothing but the sign of Jonah will be given to this generation. And of course, the sign of Jonah in that Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the great fish and Jesus 3 days in the tomb. But this is a reenactment. Jesus is showing himself to be the true Jonah, as opposed to the one who ran away. He's showing himself to be God's messenger en route to the Gentiles. But he's asleep and he's tired. And some of you are exhausted as well. Some of you desire deep, deep sleep. Some of you cry out for this innocent slumber, even in the middle of the storm. And it would be really, really tempting at this point to go off on a bit of a rabbit trail about sleep and dreams and talk about Jacob's ladder and Elijah's 24-hour sleep and Adam being put to sleep and waking up and having a surprise. It would be wonderful to study and trace the ideas of sleep and rest in the Psalms, but I'm told not to get distracted. So we've looked at the storm, we've looked at the sleeper, what about the Saviour? The psalmist tells us that God will not let your foot slip, he who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Even if it feels as if the Lord is asleep in your boat, the Father who watches over you and loves you and cares for you, and the Holy Spirit who broods over the surface of the waters and who changes you, neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Saviour stands up in the boat, and with two words, the raging storm is brought to an end. Peace, be still. God speaks, and the waters are brought under control. And the disciples are terrified. They've swapped their fear from the storm to Jesus. Fear him, you saints, and you shall then have nothing else to fear, says the old hymn. We need to get our emotions in the right place, in the right order, to love him above all other loves, to fear him above all other fears, to honour him above all others whom we honour, and to worship him above all else that we might adore. In the original, the language says, with a great fear they feared. They feared their fear. They very, very fearfully afraid. You see, this man who had been walking along the sea coast, the shore, and said, can I get in your boat? Has got in the boat and has now shown himself to be in control of creation. When God speaks, the waves are brought under control. Let's move on to the second reading. And this time it's Jesus in the storm. Mark 14, 32 to 42. Once again, we see a storm, a sleepers, and the Saviour. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. This time, it's not the disciples who are in the storm, it's Jesus. Remember, there's no street lighting in Palestine at this time. At the Last Supper, they'd gone out into the dark. They found a garden called Gethsemane, and Jesus asked his disciples to sit while he prayed, and then took his three closest ones, Peter, James, and John, further with him. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. Abba, Daddy, Papa, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. The waves of anguish came crashing in on him. This was not just the fear of death. This is the anticipation of the weight of the sin of the world crashing on his shoulders. He knew there would be physical pain. But your sin and mine, your failure and mine, your death and mine were to be charged to his account. He returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He was distressed, troubled, overwhelmed with sorrow. And Simon was asleep. Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he found them again sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They didn't know what to say to him. And returning a third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. He was being taken into a storm. The sleepers, well, they were asleep. Jesus could have said to them, do you not care that I'm perishing? But he didn't. Simon, are you asleep? Notice, not Peter this time. Peter's no rock to him at this time. He's just Simon. Couldn't you watch for an hour? They were exhausted. They had expended much spiritual energy as they'd been with him in the temple, doing spiritual battle with the authorities, the teachers of the law. And now they move from sleep to desertion. Jesus had stood up in their boat and commanded the winds and the waves to be still, but they could not stand by him in his storm. They could not shout, peace, be still, and none of us, if we were there, could have done better. For the Saviour had to do this work alone. The Saviour had to face death alone. The Saviour had to bear the sin of the world alone. The Saviour had to conquer the grave alone, so that alone his name is worshipped and glorified. But if we share with him in a death like his, we shall share with him in a resurrection like his. He was with them in their storm, but they couldn't stick with him in his. He rose from sleep with authority, but they fell back to sleep with fatigue. He showed himself to be the Saviour in the boat, and he shows himself to be sovereign on the throne. And at this point I got to writing, so how shall I finish this sermon? Whatever storm you're going through, he is with you in your boat with you. However large the waves are crashing over the side, however uncontrollable the wind, he has not abandoned you. Watch him stand up and hear him say, peace, be still, and know that I am God. When God speaks, the waters are brought under control. He rules over the surface of the waters. He calms the chaos. So whatever sleep you're getting or not getting, let it be the right kind. If you are spiritually asleep, then wake up. And if you're spiritually exhausted, hyper alert, then listen to the invitation to Jesus, from Jesus, to come inside and rest a while. Four times, Paul says, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Wake up from your drunken stupor. Awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and sober. To the spiritually overwhelmed, Jesus says, peace, be still. To the spiritually sleepy, Jesus says, wake up. Let us pray. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. For the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. Peace, be still, and know that I am God. Amen.